The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Turn to me and be gracious to me,
for I am lowly and afflicted.
Consider my affliction and my trouble,
and forgive all my sins.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
You are the God of my salvation.
For you I wait all the day long.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For you alone my feet are to rest.
O guard my soul and deliver me.
Let me not be put to shame.
Turn to me and be gracious to me,
for I am lowly and afflicted.
Consider my affliction and my trouble,
and forgive all my sins.
Thank you. protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy. Multiply your mercy upon us, that is, with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through the things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Question 70. What does our created nature, natural law, teach us about marriage? Human beings are by nature male and female, according to the pattern of nature itself. A new human life cannot be conceived without a man and a woman. The most natural setting for the care of the baby who is born is for the child to be cared for by his or her mother and father, who have committed themselves to each other and to their child. This natural pattern has been the basis for marriages and families throughout all of human history and in every human culture. Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, He made him in his likeness, in the likeness of God, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is written in the 7th chapter of Micah, beginning with verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquities, and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob, and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Are you listening? Are you listening? 9:41. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the first chapter. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Here endeth our epistle reading. Burden on the Lord,
and he will sustain you.
I call to God, and the Lord will save me.
He redeems my soul in safety.
I love you,
O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress,
15th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "One man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Here endeth our gospel reading.
Father.
theme is repent, listen, believe the gospel. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So what does God say about all these commandments? Asks Luther in the small catechism at the close of the commandments. We find the answer in the 20th chapter of Exodus, where he says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Dear saints in Christ, the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this by no means is the only place that the Scripture condemns these wicked sins and the sinners who do them. And to top it all off, the very first psalm begins, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And then it concludes, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Nevertheless, here you find Jesus receiving sinners, eating with them. Now, to eat with someone, especially in first century Israel, is to join into fellowship with them. And this is why the tax collector, the scribes, and the Pharisees are so upset. I mean, is Jesus accepting tax collectors and sinners? Yes. Jesus accepts sinners just as they are. Well, how can this be? I mean, is Jesus contradicting the rest of Scripture by accepting sinners? Is Jesus some type of liberal theologian who dismisses the moral demands of God's Word? By no means. I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them, Jesus says. In fact, Jesus preaches the law more strictly than any other teacher sent by God. Have you heard it was said to those of old? You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality, make her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Hence, does the Lord Jesus preach God's law? As you heard last Sunday, Jesus does not shy away from preaching about hell either. Nevertheless, here you see your Lord Jesus accepting and eating with tax collectors, adulterers, divorcees, yes, murderers, whether in thought or deed. Does Jesus have a split personality? I mean, isn't this a contradiction? No, here you have the two main teachings of the Bible, the law and the gospel. The law is the love God commands of you, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if you do not love, the law condemns you to death and hell. But the gospel is the good news that Jesus died upon the cross to wash away the sins of the world so that sinners might be accepted by God. These two teachings do not contradict each other. Rather, they serve each other. A sinner is confronted with the law, must fear God and despair of his own righteousness. And the gospel rushes in to bring them comfort, to comfort the broken sinner with God's acceptance and forgiveness. But if the law does not do its job, the sinner will not accept the gospel. Rather, it would be like throwing pearls to pigs. So then there are two types of sinners. Those who are comforted by the gospel of Jesus, and those who receive no comfort from it. Those who draw near to hear Jesus are welcomed by him. And those who listen not to Jesus will therefore not be welcomed at his table. Now, did you notice that I did not say two types of sinners are, that some are really, really bad and some are not so really bad? No, Jesus accepts the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revelers, swindlers, and every type of sinner. See how gracious Jesus is? But the scribes and Pharisees hate those tax collectors and sinners so much. Why? Because they know, or they think they know, their sins. They don't know the half of it. They don't know their wicked thoughts and motives, the evil words they've said in private. And much of what they think they know is probably conjecture or speculation. However, Jesus actually knows not only their outward sins, but their private ones as well. Those that were done in darkness. Those that are done in secret. Those even in the privacy of their own minds. If Jesus wanted to, he could expose every one of these sinners' most awful and secret sins. But instead he chooses to cover them, to hide their sins in his own flesh. As the prophet prophesied, he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And so it is with you. Christ knows every single one of your sins. Not just the ones you know or others know about you. He knows the sins you think are secret. But you know what else knows about? Perhaps that you've even forgotten about. Nevertheless, instead of exposing them and casting you into hell, in shame and guilt, he covers them with his own blood. He covers them with his righteousness. Is this promise of grace that draws you, a sinner, to Jesus? You see, it is not the severity of the sin that determines whether or not the sinner will sit at Jesus' table. It is whether the sinner repents. As Jesus says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. To repent is not only to be sorry for your sins, but to turn to Christ, to listen to Him, as these sinners in this text did. They came to listen to His words of grace, to believe in this forgiveness, and to learn from Him how to live a life pleasing to God. This month is the so-called LGBTQ Pride Month, right? Now, obviously, sexual perversion is not something to have pride in. Nevertheless, there appears to be an even greater threat to Christians than the acceptance of sin, which is condemned in the Bible. Those who encourage pride and sexual behavior condemned by God Himself are considered loving. People are even invoking Christ and His command to love as a reason to accept and embrace sinful behavior. And even so-called Christian church bodies have even embraced homosexuality and other sexually immorality, refusing to condemn it, even performing same-sex marriages in direct defiance of God's command. And some are even ordaining openly unrepentant homosexuals as pastors to shepherd Jesus' flock. And children and young people are pressured every day to accept these sinful behaviors as good and as right and equal to their relations to God has given to marriage between husbands and wives. So let me be clear. It is not loving to accept homosexuality or encourage a person suffering with these temptations and sins to embrace or have pride in their sin. Nor does it in any way resemble the Lord's behavior towards sinners. Those church bodies that encourage people to continue in their sin are not doing the work of Christ, but they are doing the work of Satan. They are confirming poor lost souls in their sins and preventing them from joining Christ at His table. And God will hold them accountable, as the prophet Ezekiel records God's command to his watchmen. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Those who struggle with homosexuality, like all of you, need Jesus. They are no different in that regard. So as Christians, you treat them with respect. You're polite to them. You put the best construction on everything. But that does not mean that you encourage anyone to continue sinning or join them in their sinning. Rather, it is loving to encourage repentance and the belief in free forgiveness of sins won by Christ Jesus for everyone. You need to repent every day. And as you repent and believe the gospel, your sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Jesus did not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scoffers when he sat and ate with sinners. Rather, they listened to him. He corrected them in their sin, and he tenderly preached forgiveness to them. Jesus does not encourage anyone to continue in sin. He rescues from sin. As God spoke in the Old Testament to Ezekiel, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And Jesus, who is the Lord God himself, continued this same ministry when he proclaimed that I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, Jesus never encouraged anyone to continue sinning. Those who do so have no favor to the, does no favor to the sinner. They are like fake doctors who refuse to tell the patient that they have cancer because he's afraid of their reaction. Jesus not only tells you that you have a disease, but he heals you of it. And this is why these sinners flock to Jesus. Not because he turns a blind eye to their sin, but because he cures them of their sin by forgiving them, no matter how grave or socially unacceptable their sin is. It's no fun being a sinner, because you do things you know you shouldn't do, and things you know you should do, you fail to do. The demands of God's law are too much for you to bear. It's no wonder that so many have completely given up on trying or have redefined how good it is to comfort your own guilty consciences. Being a sinner makes you feel unworthy, even worthless. Well, each of you is certainly unworthy of God's love and affection. But no one here is worthless, because you were bought with a price. Jesus determines your worth by what he paid for you, with his own suffering and his bitter death. This is why Jesus calls the entire heavenly host to rejoice with him over one sinner who repents. Every single one of Christ's sheep is important to him. You are important to Christ. As the woman could have no rest until she found the coin that she had lost, so Jesus could have no rest until he has you. And Jesus rejoices along with all of his angels and all the saints in heaven because he has brought you into his fold. Dear saints in Christ, there is no sin so great that Jesus' blood can't wash it away. And there is no sinner for whom Jesus did not die. And so there is no one unwelcome in Christ's church. Tax collectors, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, murderers, child abusers, gossipers, slanderers, blasphemers. Jesus died for them all. And so he wants them all to join him at his table, to repent, and to receive the forgiveness of their sins. And there's no place as welcoming as the Christian church. No place as welcoming as this congregation. Not because of how nice you are. Not because you exchange eternal joy for temporal happiness. But because Jesus, the head of his church, accepts all sinners. He forgives every sinner, no matter how much you sin. And he knows he forgives you. And in that you can rejoice with your confession. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding bring you peace and comfort, knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
And
Of your only begotten Son, who out of his great compassion trod all over our iniquities, all of our iniquities under his foot on the cross, that we might delight in your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have provided pastors to preach your word, administer your sacraments, and shepherd your people. Guard them from leading your sheep astray. Grant that through their preaching, your people may be pierced by the law and saved by the gospel. Finally, shield them from the assaults of the devil who would silence your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for the earthly fathers you have given us. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly lives and love for your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and give them the comfort of your absolution over all of their shortcomings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guide our rulers aright by the ministry of your church, and instill in them the humility under your divine authority, that they in turn would honor and uphold the godly callings of fathers and mothers in our land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Linda and Ruth continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant to which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in the waters of holy baptism, your Son laid on us his shoulders and brought us home rejoicing. Give confidence to all who suffer, especially Robin, Carol, Steve, Kathy, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, Carl, Billy, Carol, the Clap Baby, and the family of Ruth, that they may know that He will bear them with their present trials safely home to the joys of heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, though we were lost and dead in our sins, yet your Son has found us and made us alive through His holy word. Lead us in joy to your table this day to feast upon the true body and blood, and grant that we would ever give thanks for your love and grace with the angels, archangels, with all the company of heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you crown us with steadfast love and mercy in your Son. While we live amid many troubles in this sinful world, grant us by your holy word that we would not deal with us according to our iniquities, but are merciful and gracious to us. Call us to repentance and faith, that we may take up our crosses daily and follow you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with Ruth and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death. Take, eat the true body of Christ. Take, drink. True blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take the true blood of Christ. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Upon thee and give thee peace.